And Clive introduced us to a place called Felderbrennan. It's the only Welsh I know. That's about it. And it has been said that it's a place of blessing. And I know that to be true because when we got home, the first miracle happened. Susan said to me, "How long are you going to be today?" So I said, "Why?" She says, "Because I have a lot to get through." She wanted me to preach even longer. So there's the first miracle there, right there in itself. So bear with me. I have quite a few scripture here, so I would like to share it with you. As our children go out, we trust that they'll be blessed so that they too will be a blessing. There we go. You can see what I see. Some of you may know, you may be aware that the vision over this church is Isaiah 61, to bind up the broken hearts and to set the captives free. And sometimes in life it's difficult because we see circumstances and situations all around us. And this week, as Susan and I were getting ready to go off to Wales, we had a text from a friend of ours to say that their precious loved one had lost the fight against cancer. Young woman, two children, and the first thing that went through my mind was I was cross. And then I had to check myself and say, it's the enemy, it's the devil that comes to rob, steal, and destroy. God comes to encourage, bind up, and build. Yet we're told that nothing happens without God say so. So it's a difficult concept, isn't it? And one of the things within this church that I've been led to do over the years is to say the simple words, be blessed, so that you can be a blessing. Be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And sometimes in situations like that one that I've just told you about, and that's repeated time and time again, and in your family and your loved ones and people you hear about, and we can say, why, God, is this happening? Yet we lose track of the fact that this is but a moment that we live in, and it's an eternal perspective, and it's hard to get round that. And for me, I said to myself, Lord, what can I do to make a difference? The Bible says where brothers, sisters dwell together in unity, there God commands a blessing, so that when we speak the same language, when we have the same heart, when we cry the same tears, we can actually make a difference. There will be a blessing that's poured out, and you may not see it. So I want to just take us on a journey today, and basically, it all came about when I heard on a film, I heard a statement from a minister at a wedding, and it really got me to thinking. I just want to say hello to Jeanette, because of Nigel and technology, she's listening to us on live stream. Sorry, Jeanette, but we do send our love to you, and we do trust that God will heal you and restore you. Amen. I heard a statement, I was going to read it, wasn't I? I heard a statement on a film, and it said this. There was a man and a woman, and there was a priest. And he looked at the man, and he looked at the woman, and he said these words. He said, "By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife." Why is that significant, I hear you ask? I'll tell you then. Because it suddenly struck me that here's a man standing there that's been vested with power, given all the authority that the government says he can have, and under the banner of Christianity, all the authority that God says he can have, and he says, "By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife." And that got me thinking that God has vested power within me and within you. And I want to share one or two scriptures, and you may wonder where I'm going, and we're on a journey, and Susan's given me permission today, so we have lots of time. So please bear with me. As I just read this short portion of scripture here, it's from Luke 10, starting at verse 25, and it says this, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked." Now, there's lots of things we can bring out in scriptures like this, but I don't want to. Just an example. We'll always be tested by experts. You'll always be tested by an expert. But I just want to bring some simple thoughts to us. So I'll cross over and I'll miss out some of these things and just read. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do what must I do, and it's personal, to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? Personal to you. How do you see that? He answered, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. He wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus goes on to tell him his story, this parable. And he says this. In reply, Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it doesn't tell us if this man was a Jew or not, but we get that from this illustration here. He was a Jew going from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, if you get the picture, he's going from one place to another and he's attacked, he's stripped and he's beaten. And the robbers went away, leaving him for dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and a priest has that, there's that picture of a holy man, isn't there? Somebody that's close to God. And Jesus is telling this parable for a reason. He said, a priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, those that have been set apart by God to do a certain task. When he came to the place, he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Now, a Samaritan and a Jew were enemies. So Jesus was making a point here. And who is my neighbor? And what he's saying here is your neighbor may be the very person that you dislike. And the thing I want to draw out from this is wherever you are on your journey, you can make a difference. What do you see? What are you going to be coming up against? You may feel that you don't understand enough about Scripture to be able to... This man didn't need somebody to go up to him and pray in a holy language, did he? He didn't need that. He didn't need someone to say, I'll go home and I'll intercede for God to do something. This man needed to have something there and then, and we can make a difference. You can make a difference. God has given you the ability, you the power, you the authority. And we read on in this story, and it says that he bandaged his wounds, he put him on his own donkey, he took him to a place of refuge, and he didn't just leave it there. He said to the innkeeper, look after this man, and I will pay you whatever it costs on my return. He went the extra mile. See, God's given me and he's given you the authority to speak blessings into people's lives. So when we hear tragic stories of loss, when we hear stories of poverty, what can we do? Well, we can do whatever God has given us the strength to do. Right at that time. Yes, sometimes we might need to just pray, but other times we need to do. So I just want to share one or two scriptures with us as we go on this journey, just to encourage you and just to give you that sense afresh today that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. It goes on to say again, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied yet again, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength, it goes on to say as well. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So we've already been shown who our neighbor could be. Our neighbor could be the actual person that's next door to us. Our neighbor could be our friend. Our neighbor could be our enemy. So we're to love God, and we're to love our enemies too. And if we will grab hold of who we are and the authority that God's given us, we will be like that man who stood between that husband to be and that wife to be. The power vested in me, I now pronounce you. The power vested in me, be well. The power vested in me, as we take the cloak of righteousness that God's given us and we place it around those that we maybe like and those that we maybe don't like. But there's a journey that God takes us on. And in that journey, if we'll grab afresh the understanding, it says here in Matthew 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Now, these are the 12 disciples that we read about and we've learnt about at school. Do not go among the Gentiles, although he wasn't forbidding him to go amongst the Gentiles. That's like me and you. or into the town of Samaria. He was simply saying, at this time I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. But listen to what he says. As you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So God is saying here, Christ is saying, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the living. The power that's vested in me, I now give to you. Do not take gold or silver, it goes on. You don't need to take a bag. You don't need to take extra clothes or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his keep. But it goes on to say, whatever town or village you enter, search there for a worthy person and stay in the house until you leave. As you enter that home, give it your greeting. See, God has instilled in me and you a greeting. He's given us power and he's given us authority to speak blessing. And I say that because afresh we can look at the circumstances of life and say, Lord, what can I do? Well, for this particular family that I'm familiar with, I can pray, Lord, would you bless Georgie and her parents? Lord, would you bless these children? Lord, would you bless this situation? Maybe I can't do anything in person, but I can do something within my prayer life. God's given me power and authority, and they're not just dead words. I come not with words of eloquence, Paul said, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. It also says in Scripture, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if we listen to Scriptures like this and we're challenged afresh with Scriptures like this, you will know and I will know that Christ in you, the hope of glory. What can I do? I can bandage up the sick. I can put him on my own horse. I can pay for his recovery. I can pray for him. It talks about wherever you go, leave your greeting. Give it. It says further down here, let your peace return to you. So that means you can give peace. You can give peace wherever you are. You can say, Lord, let there be peace in this home. You may walk into a destructive situation or a circumstance and think to yourself, what can I do? Well, you can say, Lord, let there be peace. Why? Because the power vested in me by God is the same power that's vested in you by God to speak life and life in all its fullness. It says in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. There is something that we can do. We can bless. We can bless. We can bind and we can loose. I want to encourage us today afresh to grab hold of the power that God has already given us. We don't need to go and get it from somewhere else. God has given it to me and to you. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And there's a picture here, and Christ said, I will come back, and this is where I want to meet you. When they saw him, Jesus that is, they worshipped him, and some doubted. There are times that we will doubt what God has said. Did God really say? Did God really say? It goes right back to the garden, where you've got in the garden where the Lord said, the Lord God said to his creation, you can do anything, but don't eat from this tree. And then the enemy comes along, the serpent represents the devil, comes along and he says, did God really say? Well, you could be in the church meeting like this, or you could listen to a podcast, or you could be in worship in the car, and you hear God say something. And it says, I can pray for this person. I can give of my resources. I can bring my blessing. And then straight away, there seems to be another conflicting voice that will say, did God really say? Well, that's doubt. And we overcome doubt by the word of God. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says. So if you get the picture here, Jesus says, all authority from heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this gives us that picture that when Jesus says go, we don't go alone. He's with us. Even now today, how can that be, you ask? Well, thank you for asking. I will tell you. In Acts 2, it says this, starting at verse 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Then suddenly A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues, different languages, as the Spirit enabled them. There was a suddenly that had happened. There was something going on in the heavenlies that was different. There was an impartation that we read about in Scripture. So Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you till the very ends of the age. How can that be? It is the way it is because Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to remind you afresh, if you're a Christian, a young Christian, an old Christian, a middle-aged Christian, whatever it may be, I want to remind you that the power vested in you, you can make a difference. You can bless, don't curse. You can build up, don't tear down. God has called us to edify, to encourage, to restore. God has called us to stand in the gap. But there are times like I had earlier last week where I went, God, what can I do? What can I do? Well, I can bandage up their wounds. I can put them on my own donkey and I can pay for their recovery. I can do it in prayer and I can do it in practical ways because it's Christ in me. Because it's power that God's given me, power to speak life and death. And God wants you and he wants me to speak life. In John 13, verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. There's a picture here where Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. And here's God made manifest through flesh. Awesome picture. God made manifest through flesh, Jesus Christ. And he knelt down and he took a bowl. He took his outer garment off, wrapped it around himself, and he washed the feet of his disciples. To be somebody who's a follower of Christ means that we're servants. So we have an illustration earlier of a priest that should represent God's plans and purposes. We have a Levite that should intercede for his people. And yet it was a Samaritan, an enemy of this Jew, that came and washed and bandaged. And Jesus was saying, you can take the simple things and do something so powerful with it. So for you and for me afresh today, I want to remind us that this power that's been vested in you, and that's authority given by God, to say, be well, be healed, be encouraged. As I have done for you, very truly, when it says something like very truly or truly, truly, or verily, verily even, it means pay attention, I want you to get this. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. We cannot outdo Christ. He's done it, he's been there, he has the t-shirt. As some people say, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So as Scripture says, don't just know the word, but do the word. Yeah, be doers of the word. And when we do what God has called us to do, we're blessed. And when we're blessed, we can be a blessing to other people. Does that make sense? Anyone? Good. I can go on to my next point then. In John 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, listen, it says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So when you go through life and you see a circumstance or a situation, you may ask yourself, can I do this? Well, did Jesus do it? Did he heal the sick? Did he heal the sick? Yes. Yeah. So you can heal the sick. Not you, but Christ in you. You can pray for the sick, can't you? In Jesus' name. Did he cleanse the leper? Did he? You know, one of the most heartwarming things I think I've seen in this last year was when there was a memorial on the life and the celebration of Diana, Prince of Wales. It was the images of her in the AIDS clinic, where at that time it was a no-go area. We didn't know very much about AIDS at the time, and yet what she did was revolutionary. And I don't know where she was, if she had faith or not, but there was an outworking in her. There was something that she did that many people couldn't do, and what she did was she embraced the leper. She embraced the men and women with AIDS, and she touched them. Can you imagine what that would have done for that person? to be able to find another human being who had so much compassion that they would touch them when the world says that you're a leper, you're an outcast. Whatever you see the Father doing. So when we look through Scripture, there's that very illustration of the lepers. He touched them, be clean. So can you do that? I suggest the power vested in you. God's given you power and authority to use his name. To use his name. In John 3:3, Jesus replied, "Very truly, listen, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So this answers the question that you may have had when we spoke about how can we do the things that Jesus did? How can we be the very hands and feet? Well, it's because on the day of Pentecost, it says that his Holy Spirit was poured out. And so this picture here illustrates the question that Nicodemus has. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. So Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. How can this be? Nicodemus says. How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Jesus answered, very truly, listen, I tell you this, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. When I was a young Christian, just a few days old, I had this portion of scripture read to me in a home group, and it suddenly struck me what God was saying, that there is a spiritual birth that happens on the inside of me. And that's when the Spirit of God dwells in my spirit, my God-shaped hole, as lots of preachers like to use. But there was something that happened. There was something in me that was dead, and then suddenly it was alive. And that was the Spirit of God coming to dwell within me. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't even think anything had happened, but I received God through faith, and his Spirit came to dwell in me. So when I say things like, the power vested in me, be healed, it isn't because I'm speaking dead words. It's because I'm speaking from the overflow of the heart, because that's where God dwells. He dwells within inside me because I've been born again of his Spirit, and so have you if you've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. So when you walk along the road, the highways and the byways of life, and you see a circumstance in the situation that someone has been stripped and robbed and left for dead, and you ask yourself, what can I do? Well, you can do much, because God's given you power and authority. You can pray. You can be practical. But I want to encourage you today to realize that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You don't need to go to somewhere like Feldy Brennan to receive. You just need to ask and you will receive. God says, ask. If you lack wisdom, ask. So we can ask afresh. In John 14, verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? So here we have a connection that God and his Son are one. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. So we have the triune God coming up in a moment. It's not just Jesus spouting out words. He says, whatever I do, I only do what the Father has vested in me to do. He's given me power and authority to do this. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So it's not you, it's Christ in you. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, this is Jesus, and the Father is in me, God in the Son. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves, Jesus says. Very truly, listen, he says, I tell you, whoever believes, so that's you and that's me, whoever, that's us. So we don't need to be a priest, we don't need to be a Levite. We need to be a whoever. So if someone say, who are you? You can say, I'm a whoever. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Hang on, I better back up there. Did it really say what it just said there? Very truly, I tell you, whoever, that's me or you, whoever believes in me, Jesus, will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. In other words, I am one man, Jesus says, and I can do one thing at one time. But when I go to the Father, I'll send out the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. That's the Holy Spirit that is born again in me and you when we accept by faith. then God can be many places at many times through you and me, yes? That's the greater things. I don't think I will ever see anything greater than what Jesus did, but I will see it in greater number because there are more of Spirit-filled Christians around the earth preaching and ministering the truth. Greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus said himself in Scripture, there's a story says, lest a seed falls to the ground and dies. You get the picture of a seed of wheat or whatever it may be, and it falls to the ground. If it dies, it means it's been sown and it germinates, it produces something and it multiplies. So Jesus is saying of himself, if I die, I will go into the ground and I will produce life. And because I now live, many will live through me. So very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask. And here again, it's personal. Whatever you ask. So you mean I can ask? You can ask in my name, he says. You see, so I don't go up to someone and say, be healed in Andrew's name. It just won't work. Be healed in the name of the Catholic Church. It just won't work. Be healed in the name of the Evangelical Alliance. It just won't work. Be healed in the name of the UK government. It just won't work. It will only work when I use that name that is above every other name. That's why it's important to have sound doctrine. That's why it's important to know what the Bible says. It says, Christ in you. So it's in his name, in Jesus' name. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why do we do the things we do? So God can be glorified. It's not so that we look at ourselves and say, how awesome am I? How powerful am I? It's so that God gets the glory. There's a scripture that, a passage that says, here's a man that's ill. And the question given to Jesus is, who sinned to this person would be ill? Was it him or was it his mother? That he may be in this position. Jesus said, neither. This happened so that I may be glorified. We don't know the answers to the questions, do we? Not all of them, but we do know the answer. His name is Jesus. Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. By the power vested in me, God has given you power and authority to speak in his name. In John 17, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, not just the disciples, not just those 12 called out ones. I pray also for those who will believe in me. Those who will believe in me. They are the whosoever. They are the me and the you. So God, in the person of Christ, intercedes. The Bible says that Jesus intercedes for me and you. What does that mean? He stands in the gap for me and you. We can't see what's happening. There's circumstances and situations in our lives. We may even find ourselves as the one who's on the road being beaten and stripped and left for dead. God sees that. And he sends the Comforter, the Spirit of God, to bind up your wounds, to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. Then all of them may be one. Start again. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. It's important. All those that will believe in me. Through their message. It's a message that the disciples are preaching. It's the same message that Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That message, all those that will believe that message, that we are sinners and we need a Savior, is what Scripture says. This is for you. This is for me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. So just to illustrate one step further that these are not my words, these may be my arrangement, but when I say the power vested in you, It's because Christ dwells within you through his Spirit. It isn't me trying to build up a church saying we are mighty and powerful. He is mighty and powerful. We are humble and lowly, but he chooses the lowly things to lift them up. He chooses the things that are not to make them as if they are. He confounds the wisdom of the wise with fools like me and you. So I want to encourage you today to grab hold of afresh that you can be a neighbor to someone in need. You are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Who are the thems? They're the whosoevers. That they may be one as we are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. The Bible says where brothers, sisters dwell together in unity, there God commands a blessing. So when we move into a situation knowing that we've been given all power and authority from him, there's a unity, isn't there? Lord, I can't do this, but you can. There's a unity. Lord, here's a man that's just fell by the wayside. I've just seen the priest go by. He didn't even pray for him. The Levite went by. He didn't even intercede for him. Here is a stranger, an enemy, and I've seen him and I've watched him. He bandaged his wounds. Well, there's a unity, isn't there? When he says he has pity on him, there's a better translation, and that translation is compassion. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on us. So that word compassion compels you to do something. So if you have been born again of his Spirit, there's a deposit of compassion within you, and that compassion will compel you. But I suggest there's times in our lives where we see a circumstance and we see a situation and we could say, what can I do? Well, can I suggest that you can lay hold of the power vested in you? And you can speak to that mountain and say, be moved. You can speak to that situation and say, be moved. You can bind up that wound. You can pay for that recovery. You can intercede for that situation. Why? Because God will be glorified through what you do. You are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to the complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me. I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. That's eternal perspective. And to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, righteous Father. He goes on to say he wants us to have what he's been given. I want to just remind us finally with this last scripture. Ephesians 3:16, the one I started with. That me and you, we too can be clothed in this power. Me and you too, we can be forgiven of our sins. You know what? I've been listening to testimonies this last week. I've been away, and there was a man who was challenged with the gospel. And the man speaking to him said, you know you're a sinner? And he said, I'm not. He said, I think I do fairly well in comparison. And then he was convicted by the power of God, and he called out and said, Lord, have mercy on me, but a sinner. It's only a sinner that needs a Savior. See, I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. Maybe you don't. It's the sick that need a doctor. It's the sinner that needs a Savior. But I want to encourage you, if you're a believer today, what's a Christian? There's a guy I heard on the internet. He says, I'm a Christ-like one, a Christian. A Christ-like one, a follower of Christ, that we get it wrong, but he doesn't. We mess up, but he repairs. We say the wrong things, he encourages to say the right things. We go in the wrong direction, he pulls us back. Why? I'm glad you asked, so that we can bind up broken hearts and set captives free. But can I just say, as I read this final scripture out and invite Jackie to bring us back on our final worship song, that God has created you for a purpose. He's created you to commune with him because he loves you. And out of that relationship, you'll want to be his hands, his feet, and his pockets. You'll want to be that person that can pray, that person that can intercede. So I want to leave us with this final prayer, this one I started with on a weekly basis, so that you will grasp this. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. So I pray that the power vested in you will manifest. I pray that when you see a situation, you will say, Lord, you've given me the answer. It's Christ Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, I do. Why? Because he's given you power and authority. He's given you power to leave your peace. Lord, I leave my peace in this house of turmoil. If you walk into a situation where you see an argument, Lord, you can pray within your heart and you can say, Lord, bring your peace through me. Bring your peace through me. Let it manifest through me. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, no greater command than to love God, is there? We need to love God and then love our enemies. Challenge, isn't it? Who said church was easy? May have power together with all the Lord's holy people. That's a community. To grasp how wide and long and high and how deep the love of Christ is. Not just to know about this love, but it goes on in verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And that measure is to be born of his spirit. That measure, the fullness, is to say, Lord, come and dwell within me. That, Lord, when I walk into a situation, I won't be able to walk past it. I will have to do something because of your power that lives in me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. So, Father God, this morning I pray that you would reveal yourself to me afresh. And may I simply say that if you need God to touch your heart, then you ask him and he'll come in. You don't need me to touch you or pray for you. You ask and God will give you. You ask him to give you a greater measure. He will give you that full measure. You ask him to come and dwell within your hearts, to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. He'll come and do that because he's a gracious God. May our prayer be as we go forward that we would truly be blessed ourselves so that when we walk into a situation, we will be blessing. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jackie.
As Andrew was preaching, he mentioned children, and that reminded me that when I requested is the word I was looking for people to come and speak to me if they would like to join the worship team, I'm not bothered about the year on your birth certificate. So if you have a child with the voice of an angel, send them to me. And we're going to finish with the same song that we started with, because it is a great song, because it expresses so much of what Andrew has preached to us today, and because it's a wonderful expression of how God moves.